Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now I reside at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is October 26, 2024, or is it the 24th day of Bull 2028. We'll start this service on this Sabbath day with 13 symbolic codes by the Leaky Hollow, number 1 and 2. It says, and the title of our sermon is World Conditions When Yahweh's People Are Delivered. Okay. World Conditions When Yahweh's People Are Delivered. For this study was given by the Vicky Hara, April 3rd, 1943, and June 15th, 1945. Our study for this afternoon is based on the texts that are somewhere scattered throughout the Bible. It is in the reality of a review of the studies we have had the last several weeks, or you might say that it is the conclusion of them. You remember, though, our study of the 11th chapter of the Daniel, and Isaiah chapter 7 and 8 and onward. They bring to view a war and the deliverance of the Yahweh's people in a time of the great distress. That is a point that I am to emphasize this afternoon. We will read First Zechariah 1:18-19. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. For the prophet saw four horns, and the angel that talked with him made him to understand that these horns were symbolical of the Gentile nation which has scattered Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, and Israel, the ten-tribe kingdom, and also Jerusalem, the capital city of the two-tribe kingdom, Judah. In the other words, in the symbol of the four horns, Zechariah saw those Gentile nations which scattered Yahweh's people and destroyed their kingdom. Zechariah 1:20-21. And Yahshua showed me four carpenters, and said, I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to free them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of the Judah to scatter it. For the prophet first saw four horns, which perfectly symbolized those Gentile nations which scattered Yahweh's people. For horns are used to push and scatter. Afterwards, though, he saw four carpenters, thus lending the impression that they have come to build, for that is the business of the carpenters. When the prophet saw the carpenters, he wanted to know the purpose of their presence. And his answer, the angel first told him that these carpenters are none other than the four horns of the Gentile nation, which had scattered Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem, and these same horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem have now returned as carpenters to cast out the Gentiles, and thus free Yahweh's people. It therefore become obvious that the four horns, which is Zechariah's first show, point back to the time when the Israel and Judah were scattered. And the symbolism of the four carpenters point forward to a time years later when Yahweh is to restore and rebuild their kingdom, when the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is to restore and rebuild their kingdom. Briefly then, the symbolism of the horns looks back to the destruction of the kingdom, whereas the other, the carpenters, look forward unto the repairing of it. The question we ought next to consider is whether the fulfillment of the work of the carpenters took place in the time when the Jews returned from Babylon after their 70-year captivity, or whether it refers to some other time, for you remember that the Jews were scattered and their land was taken, and they went into the captivity under Babylon for the 70 years of the Jeremiah's prophecy, after which they returned and their city was rebuilt. Zechariah says there were four horns, which would include all the nations that had a part in the scattering of the Yahweh's people. And moreover, if this prediction made its fulfillment in the Nehemiah's and Haggai's time, all the Gentiles should have been driven out forever. But they were not. Besides, the horns were those nations that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And now they have returned to free of them and repair the kingdom. And in chapter 2 of the Zechariah's prophecy, Yahweh declared that not only were his people kingdom be restored, but many nations would join themselves unto the Yahweh, since both, or unto the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, since both Israel and Judah did not return, and since other nations did not join themselves unto the Yahshua and his people. When the Jews return from Babylon, we cannot say that this prophecy met its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from Babylon. And since this prophecy has never been fulfilled, it must take place at some other time, future time. Through it all, we see in the Zechariah's prophecy a prediction that one day the Gentile nations would be engaged in the rebuilding of the Israelitish kingdom in the Palestine that was once destroyed. We see also that there is to be a world war in which Gentiles outside of Palestine and the Gentiles within will be involved. To that war, Yahweh's people, Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem are to be delivered and made free, and the kingdom will be rebuilt. That is as plain as any thing I have ever seen. In Luke 21:24, we find these words, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." It is at the time Zechariah's prophecy is fulfilled, when the four carpenters drive out the Gentiles, that the Jerusalem shall no more be trodden by the Gentiles for their time to occupy the Holy Land shall be brought unto its end. Then the Jews are to return and possess the land. Isaiah, Daniel, and Nahum also bear prophetic testimony unto the fact that there is to be war and trouble and deliverance of the Yahweh's people at the time that this kingdom is restored on the earth. Let us now consider Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah, chapter 20 through 30, is one long account, or a book, if you please, containing both history and prophecy. It deals with the wickedness of the Jews and how Yahweh would deal with them if they did not repent. And Yahshua tried every possible way to lead them to repentance, but they would not respond. For the 26th chapter is an account of a conference they held to determine what to do with the Jeremiah, the Yahshua's project, or prophet. Some wanted him killed, but others objected to it, and his life was preserved. One of the most important facts to be observed in these chapters, however, is that the long Yeshua, Son of Yahweh, long declared that the punishment he was to mete out to his people, the Jews, would sometime be given to the kingdoms of the Gentiles also. We shall now read Jeremiah 30, verse 1 and 2. For the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahweh, saying, "Thus speaketh the Yahweh of the Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." For Yahshua commands the prophet to write in a book all the words that he has spoken in the preceding chapter. Jeremiah 30, verse 3. It says that, "For lo, the day is come, saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Yahshua, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. All that the Yahweh has said about the destruction of the Israel and Jacob, of Judah, was to be carefully written in a book, because sometime he is to deliver them both, but he did not want that fact to be forgotten. I am positive upon the Bible authority that the kingdom restored is not to be made up in the heaven above. It is to be made up in the very land where Yahweh's people lived until they were driven out because of their sins. Yes, the Bible teaches that all the 12 tribes someday will return and possess that land. And for the land that he gave unto their fathers, after the millennium, Yahweh's people will possess. No. It's before the millennium, Yahweh's people will possess not only the Palestine, that's what's going on right now. God has been driven out. But they will possess the whole earth. They must first, however, return from among the Gentiles and possess the land of their fathers in the fulfillment of the prophecy we are now studying. Necessarily then, it must take place before the millennium, before the Yahweh's people go to heaven. Very good. Jeremiah 30:4-6. And these are the words that the Yahshua spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith Yahweh, we have heard a voice of the trembling, of the fear, and not of the peace. And ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into the paleness. We heard a noise of the trembling, of the fear, and not of the peace. We do not have to ask whether a man travails with a child, for we know that he does not. What then is the reason for the suggestion of the question? For it indicates that something is to happen that never happened before. It will be something as strange as if a man were to travail with a child, a time of the great and unusual trouble and fear is to overtake the people. It is to bring great distress and anxiety upon them. Okay, Jeremiah 30:7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of the Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So it is designated as a time of the Jacob's trouble, yet there is no trouble like it in the respect that man is so great. And this prophecy Yahweh is revealing that before Yahweh's people return unto their father's land, there shall be a time of the trouble that will turn all faces pale. It will be a time of the trembling, of the fear, and of the trouble, such as never was. Trouble is coming. It is not going to be a small trouble. Why is it called Jacob's time of the trouble? Jacob met the trouble while he was returning unto the promised land. Now Jacob is to return again to the promised land with all his household, and again he is to meet with the great trouble. That is why it is called, or is called, the time of the Jacob's trouble. The trouble is to be exceedingly great. Some of us may think we have the hardship now, but the fact is that we do not know what hardship is. We cannot now comprehend. Let's review again. Now Jacob is to return again to the promised land with all his household, and again he is to meet with the great trouble. That is why it is called the time of Jacob trouble. The trouble is to be exceedingly great. Some of us may think we have hardship now, but the fact is that we do not know what hardship is. We cannot now comprehend or even imagine how great the trouble will be. Alas, for that day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For the trouble actually is what saved him. Then the time of the trouble is coming for the good of the latter day Jacob. It is coming to deliver them through this most difficult time. It is the man who has the greatest faith in the Yahweh that will fear the least. The more faith one has, then the greater will be his deliverance. We have learned that in that great time of the trouble, those represented by the Jacob will be delivered. For the Daniel calls it a time of the trouble such as never was, and he also foretells that Michael, which is Yahshua, shall stand up and deliver everyone whose name is written in the book. Why did both prophets write about it? For Jeremiah perhaps deals more directly with the deliverance of the people and makes plain the time that the Yahweh is to accomplish the deliverance. Jeremiah 30. verse 8, "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahshua of the host, the Son of Yahweh, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." For to break one's yoke and bonds means to make one free. It is from the Assyrian yoke that Jacob is going to be made free. And what is that? Okay, Jeremiah 30 verse 9. "But they shall serve Yahshua, their Savior, the Son of Yahweh, and David, their King, whom I will raise up unto them." Now, we will read the last part of Jeremiah 30, verse 8 again. "And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." For the reason there will be no strangers is that no one will serve himself there. In the religious realm, strangers serve themselves rather than the Yahshua and their King, but in the kingdom, all will serve the Yahshua, their Redeemer, and David, their King. If I am a minister of the gospel, for what I can get out of it, then I am serving none but myself. But if I am serving for the good of the Yahweh's people, then I am serving Yahweh. There are many people today dying for their country. Should not a Christian be willing to die if necessary for the cause of the Yahshua? There shall be no more strangers among Jacob, and that will serve themselves, but they shall serve the Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their King, whom I will raise up unto them. There are two principles brought to the light in this statement. One is religious and the other is civil. The one religious is none other than the Yahshua, their Savior, and the one civil is David, their visible King. If he is to raise David unto them, then it must be that they are going to have a theocratic form of the government as they had in the David's time. Jeremiah 30 verse 10, "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Yahshua, neither be thou dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For that Jacob should not fear, because he shall be saved out of his trouble. Yahweh is going to deliver him by a miracle. If it were not a fearfully troublesome time, they would not need to be told to fear, not nor be dismayed. It is to be a terrible time of the trouble just before Jacob is delivered. Certainly, then the statement that there is a silver lining behind every cloud is true in this case. Jeremiah 30, verse 11 to 13. For I am with thee, saith the Yahshua, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, that I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yahshua, thy bruises is incurable, and thy wound is precious. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. For the other people are to receive punishment, but it is only going to be in the measure, the incurable bruise and grievous wound is the kingdom lost. Though the bruise is incurable, yet they are to be delivered. Only a miracle can heal an incurable bruise. Just before Yahweh's people are delivered, they will be painfully aware that there is the possible way for them, that there is no possible way for them to be delivered. But a miracle is to take place. Then all will know that the Yahweh alone wrought their deliverance. As Jeremiah 30, verse 14 and 15. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel son, a cruel one, for the multitude of thy iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Christ out for thine affliction. Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thy iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. The Jewish people suffered the loss of their kingdom because of their sin. Jeremiah 30, verse 16. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil of thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. This is to begin to be fulfilled when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Yahshua, because they scattered thy wounds, saith Yahshua, because they call thee an outcast sin. This is the Zion whom no man seeketh after. For the adversaries will make sport of the Zion, because apparently no one will be looking after them, and they will have to they will have no following of the friends, no one to plead their cause. Jeremiah 30:18. Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. For the city shall be rebuilt, and the palace shall remain. Jeremiah 30:19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. They are going to multiply and be a great people. Jeremiah 30:20. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them. Their oppressors are still there. Jeremiah 30:21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? For the nobles shall not be of the Gentile, for they shall have their own government. Jeremiah 30:22-24. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, goeth forth with the fury. A continuing whirlwind, it shall fall with the pain upon the head of the wicked. For the fierce anger of the Yahshua shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intent of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. To find what the whirlwind is, let us turn to Jeremiah 25:15-18. For thus saith the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, king of Israel, unto me. This is Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations unto whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Yahweh's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom Yahshua has sent me, to witness Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. And that's the tribe of David, the king of Israel, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, and an astonishment, and hissing, and a curse, as it is at this day. It made Judah a curse. Jerusalem was first among the nations to take this curse. Jeremiah 25:19. For the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servant, and his princes, and all his people, Jeremiah 25:20-29, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of earth, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Gaza, and Ekron, and the remnant of the Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyre, that's the kings of Satan, Tarsus is another name for Satan, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan and Tema and Beth, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua of the host, son of the Yahweh of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith Yahshua the host, you shall certainly drink, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Yahshua the host. For the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, here declared that he commenced his punishment with his own people, and that would be the house of David, and typically Elijah, and he is not going to excuse other people from the punishment. All the nations unto whom he sent it were to drink of the curse, and what he did to punish his people is a sample of what he will do to the nations, because he will not allow them to go unpunished. Jeremiah 25:30-31. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, for the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, shall roar from on high. He's going to come down from heaven, come down to this earth, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Yahshua hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Yahshua. The wicked will be destroyed. Jeremiah 25:32. Thus saith Yahshua the host, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. Evil will go forth from nation to nation, for Yahweh will call for a sword upon all. Let's do it again. For the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, that's come down from heaven. He roared down from heaven. He's on this earth now, leading his great army of Joel chapter 2. He calls for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. It means war. It means war. Okay. This is Jeremiah 25:33. And the slain of the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. This verse is not describing the condition that will prevail as a result of the coming of the brightness of the Yahshua when he comes in the clouds. This is a slaughter from the great whirlwind of the Jeremiah 25:32. It is from war. Why should the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, first bring this on Judah and Jerusalem, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and then to the nation? Because they had their greatest light, and therefore they had the least reason to be wicked. Then when this war starts, in the time of the deliverance of the Yahweh's people, so the most enlightened people will suffer first. Please return now to Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua goeth forth with the fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with the flame upon the head of the wicked. This whirlwind is warfare, which does not arrive and then quickly die out. It stays long. It is the start and the latter end of the time. Yahweh's people are scattered among the Gentiles just before his people are delivered. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, said to Yahshua, son of Yahweh, of the host, will I be the king of all the families of Israel. Actually, it says, I will be the God, meaning I will be the Savior. Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, will be the Savior of all the families of Israel. And they shall be my people. Although he says, for the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Well, the wilderness is in the United States. The Gentile world, that's just where we're at right now. Showing that the sword fell while the people were still in the Gentile nation. Those that were left will be restored to their own land. It is in the time when the true ones and the Israel are left and find grace with the Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:3-4. For the Yahshua of the host hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with the loving kindnesses have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. She will again be a kingdom as she once was. Jeremiah 31:5-6. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of the Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as a common thing. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, let us go up to the Zion and to the Yahshua, our Savior and King. That's where Yahshua is at, in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. Judah is in Zion. Okay. Ephraim refers to the kingdom of Israel as the 10-tribe kingdom. Therefore the day is coming that the Ephraim will go to Judah and to Zion unto the Yashir of the host, son of the Yahweh, their king. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith the Yashir of the host, sing with the gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish you, praise you, and say, O Yashir, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. There are people yet to be saved. Jeremiah 31:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north, our country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with the child together. A great company shall return thither. A great company shall return. Jeremiah 31:9-10. They shall come with the weeping, and with the supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters, and a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Yashir of the host, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. An announcement is to be made unto the nation, informing them of the good thing Yashir will do for Israel. Jeremiah 31:11-12. For the Yashir hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of the Zion, and shall flow together unto the goodness of Yashir, for the wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Let us now turn to Isaiah 30 and read another prophecy, prediction of the very same prophecy we have just read about this afternoon. It said, Isaiah chapter 30 describes the wickedness of Judah, that's the house of David, tribe of David, and Israel, and that's the 10 tribes, Ephraim, and sets forth Yahweh's intention to destroy their kingdom. Let us now read Jeremiah 30:18. And therefore will Yashir of the host wait that he may be glorious or gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Yashir of the host is a Yahweh of the judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In the previous verses, the Yashir sets forth the determination of his people to go their own way, which will lead to loss and shame. But in this verse, he declares that he will wait for a time and mercy for the true ones among them, those who will wait for him. Thus will he be exalted. And a special blessing is in the store for these who do wait for him. Isaiah 30:19. For the people shall dwell in the Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. They shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, not in some other place. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though Yahshua give you the bread of the adversity and the water of the affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Though the kingdom was to be broken up, yet in the time of the restoration, their teachers would be seen of the people. Isaiah 30:21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, a saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. When the horse comes to the fork in the road, he wonders which road you want him to take. All he wants is but a gentle touch of the reins by the driver to indicate the road he is to follow. So, with the Yahweh's people, the still small voice will clearly direct them in the right way if they will follow it. Isaiah 30:22-24. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of the silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground with them, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in the large pasture, the oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. There shall be prosperity. Isaiah 30:25-26. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of the waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of the seventh day, and the day that the Yahshua of the host bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. The day when the Yahshua binds the breach of his people, and heals the stroke of their wound is in the day of the restoration. It is the day that the kingdom is returned unto the Yahweh, Yahshua's people, of the son of Yahshua of the host. And at that time the moon and the sun will shine many times brighter. This is a symbolical language for the sun as signifying of the Bible truth. If the sun is to shine seven times brighter, it would indicate that the truth would become clearer and brighter, since it is even now growing brighter. And brother, we see in it another evidence that the time this prophecy is to meet its fulfillment is almost here. Jeremiah 30:27. Behold, the name of the Yahshua, the host, cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. For the sun shines 7 times brighter in the day, that the name of the Asher cometh. Isaiah is speaking of the day of the Asher, and the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now, according unto Malachi, chapter 3 and 4. For the Asher was to send the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Asher of the host should come. Isaiah 30:28, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of the vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. He shall come to sift the nations with the vanity, for he knows that vanity appears unto them. Through it they will be led where Yahshua wants, son of the Yahshua of the host wants all to go who follow after vanity. They will err in their ways through a specially designed vanity which Yahweh shall send them, because they follow vain things. Isaiah 30:29. He shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of the heart, and when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Asher of the host, and to the mighty one of Israel. So Yahshua is the son of Yahweh, is the mighty one of Israel. That is the way you are going to fear if you follow the Yahshua of the host in the truth. Isaiah 33:31, and the Yahshua shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with the scattering and tempest and hailstone. For through the voice of the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. For the Assyrian will be beaten down in the promised land through the voice of the Yahshua of the host. You do not know now what that voice will say, but when it comes, you will know it, and whereas you do not need to know it now, you will have to know it then. If you look for it, you will recognize it without a doubt. Isaiah 30:32, and in the every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Asher shall lay upon him, it shall be with the tabrets and harps, and in the battles of the shaking will, he fight with it. Speaking of this event, Nahum said, the fir trees shall be terribly shaken, and the trees will fall. What is happening in the shaking that has already commenced in today's world? Some great men have fallen, and it is likely that the reason the woman Babylon will be put to rule the world will be due to the tree's rulers having fallen in the shaking that is now only commencing. for the next chapter of Isaiah, like the preceding chapter, starts with the subject of the fall of the Judah, and it also brings in a promise of the restoration. We are told that the reason Judah fell was that they trusted in Egypt rather than obey Yahweh. Let us continue by reading Ezekiel 31, verse 4. This brings us to end of our study. This is our contest. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Now let's